We're reading this morning from Mark at chapter 1 through to from verses 14 through to 34. Let's hear the word of God. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an impure spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." The impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching, and with authority. He even gives orders to impure spirits, and they obey him." News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all who were ill and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Amen.
Thank you, Gordon. So last week we looked at the very beginning of Mark's Gospel. In that part we saw Jesus being baptized by John and then driven out by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. We saw right from the start that Mark wants us to show us exactly who Jesus is. And this morning, we're just picking right up from where we left last week. Jesus has now come through his temptation in the wilderness, and now his public ministry is about to begin. And this is where things start to really move. Remember we said last Sunday that Mark loves the word immediately, and now he's not wasting any time. He is going to show us Jesus in action. Today we begin in verse 14 from a scripture reading that Gordon read for us. It says, "After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God." And you know, that wee phrase, "after John was put in prison," it's really important. John the Baptist, he was the one who was preparing the way for Jesus. He's now been arrested by Herod. John's ministry is effectively over. So John has done his job, and it's now over to Jesus to do his job. It says that Jesus goes into Galilee, and that's really important as well, because Galilee was looked down a wee bit by the religious establishment. It was not Jerusalem. Yet that's exactly where Jesus starts his ministry. So right from the start, we see that Jesus doesn't do things the way that people expect him to do. And what does he proclaim? Well, verse 15 tells us his first recorded words in Mark's Gospel. "The time has come. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." And what Jesus is saying here is the basis to everything else that happens in Mark's Gospel. This is Jesus' mission statement. He says the time has come. What time is that? Well, the time that the prophets had spoke about, the time that Israel had been waiting for so long. For centuries, God's people had been longing, waiting for God to act, to put things right. They've been under foreign rule for so long. The Babylonians, then the Persians, then the Greeks, then the Romans. And they were waiting for so long for God to defeat their enemies and to bring about the blessing that the prophets had promised. And then Jesus says, the time has come. So the waiting is effectively over. The kingdom of God has come near. This is huge. The kingdom of God, it's arrived. It's present in the person of Jesus. So wherever Jesus is, the kingdom of God is there. Now, when we hear kingdom, we might think of an area. That was one of the answers we got there. Maybe even a castle. But that's not really what Jesus means. The kingdom of God is wherever God's rule is recognized. And it's wherever God's will is being done. And in Jesus, God's kingdom has broken into this rebellious world. And then Jesus tells us how we are supposed to respond to this. He says, repent and believe the good news. Repent, that means turn around, change your mind. Stop doing it your own way and start doing things God's way. You know, it's not just feeling sorry for our sins, although that is part of it. It's a complete turnaround of our lives. It's realizing that we have been living for ourselves and deciding to turn from that and turn towards God. And to believe the good news. Believe the good news. Trust in what God is doing through Jesus. Put our faith in him. And you know, not just to acknowledge certain facts about Jesus intellectually, but to actually trust him with our lives. That's to go from a belief that Jesus is who he said he is, to a belief in him. A belief that, to a belief in. So it's going from the head to the heart. And that is what Jesus, exactly what he came to say. The kingdom of God has arrived, so repent and believe. And everything else we are going to see in this passage this morning, it comes out of that one announcement. Because straight after making this statement, Jesus starts getting a wee team together. Verses 16 to 20 tell us about Jesus calling his first disciples. He's walking by the Sea of Galilee. He sees Simon and Andrew casting a net into the lake. They're fishermen, that's their job. And Jesus says to them in verse 17, come, follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people. Now think about what's happening here. Jesus doesn't say, all right, how are you doing? I'm starting a new religious movement. I need some followers. Do you think you might be interested? Let me give you a wee bit more information. You can think about it and get back to me. He definitely doesn't say that. He says, come, follow me. It's a call with authority. And it's asking for an immediate response. And that's exactly what happens. Verse 18 says, at once they left their nets and followed him. Just think, they dropped everything, absolutely everything, right there. Their boats, their way of life, everything that they'd ever known, they just leave it and they follow Jesus. Then a little bit, we see Jesus. Jesus sees James and John, also fishermen, in their boat with their father Zebedee. Verses 19 and 20, he calls them to, immediately they leave their nets as well and follow Jesus. So immediately they leave their nets and they also follow Jesus. You know, that's very radical, because in that culture, even in our culture, you wouldn't just leave your family business. Your occupation was your identity then. It was your security. But these men see something really different in Jesus that makes them willing to leave it all behind and immediately follow him. So what is it that causes these people to leave everything and follow Jesus? Well, it's his authority. It's his leadership. The way he spoke, the way he acted, the way he carried himself. They see God in him. The way he speaks. When he says, follow me, people actually follow. And notice what he promises them. I will send you out to fish for people. So that's still their job, still fishermen, but it will be changing slightly. They were catching fish, now they'll be catching people, bringing people into the kingdom of God. That is the mission that Jesus is getting them into. So Jesus has proclaimed his message and gathered his wee team, And now he's going to show the reality of what he's actually saying. He's going to show that the kingdom of God really has come near by having authority over absolutely everything. Verse 21 says, they went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. And Capernaum becomes Jesus' home base during his Galilee ministry. It's a fishing town on the northern shore of the Sea of Galilee. And on the Sabbath, Jesus goes to the synagogue, which is what any good Jewish man would do. And he teaches. We don't know what he teaches. It doesn't tell us, but it does tell us what the reaction was. Verse 22 says, the people were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. This is really important, as the scribes and the teachers of the law used to teach by citing other authorities. They would say, Rabbi so-and-so said this, or according to this tradition. Jesus doesn't do that. He teaches with his own authority. He says, I tell you. And he speaks as though he has the right to interpret and even redefine God's law. Why? Because he does. He's God's son. And the people see this. They absolutely see this. They can tell there's something different about Jesus. There's an authority in his teaching that they've never, ever seen before. And I think, you know, as Christians, we are called to be different, aren't we? I think I spoke before, it may have been last week or the week before, when someone first took me along to a church. It was the difference in other Christians that I saw that wanted me to pursue this life even more. I knew there was something different about him. Not to say to be weird or odd, or what's the old saying, too heavenly minded to be no earthly use. You know, we have to be real with folks, but we are called to be different. You know, someone's supposed to spend 5 minutes in our company and leave and say, something they've got that I have not got. But then something happens that makes this even more dramatic, this scene. Verse 22 says, just then a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an impure spirit cried out, what do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. So right there in the synagogue during the service, a demon man cries out. Imagine that happened here this morning. We're all just having our normal Sunday, and suddenly a guy rushes in here, a demon-possessed guy. I wonder how we would react to that. But the demon recognizes Jesus. That's really important. He says, I know who you are, the Holy One of God. So the evil spirits know exactly who Jesus is, even when the religious people don't fully yet understand. That's interesting, isn't it? That the evil spirits know who Jesus is before the religious people know who Jesus is. And the demon is afraid. Verse 24, have you come to destroy us? Have you come to destroy us? So the demons know that Jesus' presence is not good for them. Where God's kingdom comes, the kingdom of darkness is driven out. Darkness and light cannot exist in the same place. I'll say that again. Darkness and light cannot exist in the same place. Then we read in verse 25, be quiet, Jesus said sternly. Come out of him. The impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. Jesus here, he doesn't need to perform any big rituals. He doesn't need any special equipment or an exorcism. He just commands the demon to leave, and the demon has no choice but to leave. And the people are amazed. Verse 27 says, the people were all so amazed, they asked each other, what is this? A new teaching? And with authority. He even gave orders to impure spirits, and they obey him. So here the people are connecting what they're seeing. Jesus teaches with authority, and he acts with authority. When Jesus shows up, demons have to run away. That's what happens when God's kingdom breaks in. But Jesus is not done there. He leaves the synagogue. He goes to Simon and Andrew's house, and Simon's mother-in-law is sick with a fever. This is a detail that only an eyewitness would know. Remember what we said last week, that Mark's gospel is Peter's eyewitness account. And this is Peter's house, and it's Peter's mother-in-law who's not well. Verse 30 says, so they told Jesus about her. He went to her, he took her hand and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. Again, no ritual or fancy show. Jesus simply takes the woman by the hand, and she is healed. Straight away, healed straight away, and so much so that she gets up and she starts serving them. She doesn't need any time to recover. She's up immediately and starts serving. So Jesus has authority over sickness. He has authority over disease. And here we see that the kingdom of God, it brings wholeness and it brings healing. And then word starts to spread. Verse 32 says, that evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out demons. What a scene that must have been. The sun has set, so the Sabbath is officially over, and the people are now free to travel. And the whole town runs to this house. Everyone who's sick, everyone who's tormented by demons, they're all brought to Jesus, and he heals them, and he casts out the demons. This is the kingdom of God in action. This is what happens when God breaks into our broken world. The sick are healed. The oppressed are freed. Those grieving the death of a loved one are given comfort. The outcast are brought in. The addict made clean and free. The broken made whole. The hopeless given hope. The people in all sorts of chains of bondages are set free. Jesus has shown that his message is not just words. The kingdom of God is real. It changes things. It changes people. So what do we do with all of this? What does this mean for all of us sitting here 2,000 years later at Craig Hill Church? Well, firstly, we need to recognize that Jesus' message is still the same today. The kingdom of God has come near. It came near when Jesus walked the earth, and it's still near today because Jesus is still alive and active through his Spirit and his people. And the call is still the same. Repent and believe the good news. Turn from your own way and turn to God's way. Trust in Jesus. That's not just a one-off decision. It's a daily thing. Every day we are called to trust in Jesus. We also need to understand what following Jesus really means. Those first disciples, they dropped everything. Everything they knew, they dropped. They left their nets, they left their boats, their livelihood, their families, their security. Following Jesus cost them something. And following Jesus will cost us something too. Jesus is not just looking for people who want to add him to their already full lives. He's calling us to make him the center and the one that we follow above everything else. And that will mean different things for different people. For some, it might mean changing a career or a job. For others, it might mean letting go of relationships that are pulling us away from Jesus. For others, it might mean giving up comforts or securities we've been holding on to. But for all of us, it means giving Jesus authority over every single area of our lives. I know that's not easy. I know that's a daily work, a lifetime work, isn't it? But it's really important. We need to recognize Jesus' authority. He taught with authority. He commanded demons with authority. He heals with authority. He done absolutely everything with authority. He has all authority. And that means that he has authority over your life and mine. But we live in a world that doesn't like this. We live in a world that tells us to be our own bosses, make our own decisions, live our own lives, our own way, trust in our own strength, our own self. But you know, Jesus comes with a very different message. The kingdom of God has come near. And the only correct thing to do about that is to submit to it. Sometimes we submit easily. Sometimes we submit kicking and screaming. But eventually we submit to that. Because here's the really lovely thing. Jesus is authority. It's not harsh or cruel. Yes, he commands. Yes, he has power. But notice what he does with his power. He heals the sick. He casts out demons. He sets people free. He brings wholeness. He uses his power for good. We also need to remember that the kingdom of God, it's not just some future hope that we sort of cling on to. It's here now. Yes, we are waiting for Jesus to return and establish his kingdom fully. But the kingdom has already broken in. God is at work right now. His spirit is active and his power is available. That means that we can expect to see God at work. We can pray for the sick and expect that God might heal them. He might also not. And I know that making sense of that can be really, really, really hard. We can also share the gospel and expect that God might save. We can resist sin and expect God to give us the strength to be able to do that. The kingdom is here. But you know, we also live in the not yet. We still see sickness. We still see suffering. We still struggle with sin. We still feel the pain and the grief when we lose those closest to us. The kingdom of God has come, but it's not fully here yet. So we live in this tension where we see glimpses of God's glory and glimpses of his kingdom breaking through, but we are still waiting for the day when Jesus returns and makes all things new. And you know, we also need to remember that Jesus is the one we need. Those people, they came to Jesus with their needs. They brought their sick and their broken. They came to Jesus because they saw that Jesus had what they needed. And we also need to come to Jesus with our needs. Whatever we're facing, whatever we're struggling with, whatever burden we're carrying, whatever pain we're currently going through. And I know that individually, many of us are carrying a lot of pains and burdens that we are currently going through. In the short time I've come to know people, I've been so blessed to have an access to so many lives. And I know that people are going through a lot of stuff. But you know, if we bring them to Jesus, he has the authority to heal and restore. He might not always do it in the way we expect or in the timing that we want, but he is more than able and he is good. So as we continue through Mark's gospel in the weeks and months ahead, remember, we're taking lots of breaks, so there'll be loads and loads of different preaching stuff in between. But we're going to see Jesus more clearly. We're going to see him have more authority. We'll see him calm storms and raise the dead. We'll see him teach, challenge, step out in faith. We'll see his battle with other religious people at the time. And ultimately, we're going to see him go to the cross and show his authority over death itself. But it all starts here with this announcement. The time has come. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. That's the message for us today. The kingdom has come. Jesus is Lord. And he calls us to turn from our own way, to follow him, to submit to his authority, and to join him in his mission. And you know, it is God's mission. I learned through my studies, many different years of studying, the concept of Missio Dei, which is, you know, the mission of God. It is God who does the mission, and it's our job to partner with him in that mission. It's never our mission, but always his. It amuses me when I hear churches saying, it's a church that, you know, that church over there does mission very well. It's actually God who does mission very well. That church might partner with God better than another church, but it's God's, always, always God's mission. So this morning, let's look out the way. Jesus came fishing for people. He called his disciples to fish for people. And you know, that's still the mission today. We are called to bring others into the kingdom. to share the good news, to show the reality of Jesus' power in our lives, and to be part of what God is doing in this world. Because the kingdom of God has come near. That's tremendous news. It's still true today. So may God help us here at Craig Owl Church to truly believe that and to live it out this day and all the days of our lives. Amen.